Hello, welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you to our digital listeners for tuning in today. The title of today's sermon is Walk Worthy of the Lord. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now for today's text, we are going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, we are taking a break this week from our study of the Gospels, but we are going to get back into the life of Christ next week. But today we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and look with me starting in verse 24. It says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Well, every year on the first Sunday of January, I preach from this text. And every year, the message changes a little bit due to how I've grown from the past year in my spiritual life. And every year, for those who have heard all of them, you take in a little bit differently due to the spiritual growth in your own life. Well, let's begin by looking deeper at our text. Now, the Apostle Paul is using an illustration that everyone would be familiar with. Now, in those days, they had games held by the Romans and by the Greeks that were about becoming the best of the best. And these games would inspire the future World Olympics that we have today. Well, the particular game that Paul uses in his illustration is that of running a race. Now, let's take a closer look at verse 24 again. And it says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now, I don't know about you, but I have seen many races, but I have never seen one that at the starting pistol, people casually walked to the finish line. Have you ever seen that? I've never seen that. Typically, when the starting pistol goes off, people are running to get to the finish line because the point is to get there first. So those competing run. They run as fast and as hard as they can in order to get to that finish line first. And it takes a lot. It takes a lot of effort, and it takes blood and sweat and tears. But they push themselves to not just show up, but to get there first. Now, the race that is being illustrated is a connection to our spiritual race of life. We all have a path that God has us on, and we are all working to get to the end. Paul is telling us, don't give up. Don't slow down. Keep moving forward and do so with all of your might. Now, in our spiritual race of life, it's a little bit different because we are not competing against anyone else but ourselves. Now, this is a different kind of challenge. This challenge is us challenging ourselves to push on, to push past what we think we cannot accomplish, all to the glory of the Lord. We may not be racing against any one particular person, as in they're right next to us and we're running that race, but we are racing against ourselves. We limit ourselves so often and we say, I can't, you know, I can't keep going on. I can't do this. I can't. And we have a tendency to not look at getting the strength from God. But as we grow, we learn that we can. We can actually push through many of those obstacles that seem very difficult in our lives. And as we grow, we learn how to go further with what God gives us. Now, notice in the last sentence of verse 24, Paul tells us to run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. In other words, don't walk your race. Don't sit down in your race. Don't give up and walk in the opposite direction. Run as hard and as determined as you can to not only finish, but to finish well. And running in that way takes work. It takes strong spiritual work. It takes mental work. It takes focus. It takes discipline. And it takes sacrifice. In order to run in this manner, you have to resolve that you are going to run and not give up. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26 says, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's consider what Jesus says here when he says deny himself. Now, this means that we set aside what we naturally want, okay? And we lay it at Jesus' feet for what he wants. Now, this does not always compete with people. You know, there are many who think we are talking about sins here, but that is not the context of this text. To deny yourself is when you give up your own personal hopes, your own personal plans, your own personal ambitions, and even your own personal future for Jesus Christ. In other words, that relationship that you wanted to start, the career you've dreamed about, the house you wanted to buy, the place you plan to move to, the items you plan to purchase, even the ministry that you wanted to get involved in, you lay that at Jesus' feet and let him make the decision for you. You resolve to let God lead you instead of you determining to lead yourself. Now, this right here is where the rubber hits the road for gospel believers. This is the hardest challenge for most Christians. It is sometimes the first and greatest challenge. Now, there are so many that love the idea of salvation, the removal of your sins and a one-way trip to heaven, but they want a free ride. And although salvation is free, Jesus intends to use you while you're here on the earth for his purposes. And again, there are many who stomp their foot down and refuse to budge on giving up what they want most, on how they want to lead in their own life. And let's face it, if we have the choice to lead ourselves, we would naturally take a different direction than God takes us, because we would not go uphill. We would not take our path through hardship. You know, we would keep our path on the easy roads of life. But consider here verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In other words, when you grasp what you want most instead of letting God lead you down the path that he wants most for you, you will never be satisfied. And what's interesting is that so often we think to ourselves that we will be most satisfied if we are directing our lives the way that we want. And many times we're afraid to let go of that possibility. We're afraid to let go of those dreams and those hopes and their desires that we have, because we think to ourselves, well, what if God does something different? What if God doesn't, you know, I think oftentimes too, we're thinking to ourselves, what if God doesn't do something as good as what I want? And that's denying God's design, because we know that throughout scripture, God is good. God is good in everything that he does. He is good. He is perfect. And God is going to bless us better than what we could have ever done to bless ourselves. But we don't have that kind of faith in God. And we say, no, I want to do it myself. I want to take chances with myself instead of taking chances with what God can do, instead of trusting in something real that is so much more powerful than myself. And honestly, I mean, that's a foolish response that we have. You know, thinking about the power of God, I've been reading through the book of Genesis, and even at the beginning of Genesis, I've been looking at Genesis chapter 1. And you're looking at the first 5 verses of the Bible show so much power and so much love and consideration and preparation that God has made to care for us. We should never be holding on to our own wants and dreams and desires. We should be throwing these things at God and saying, hey, please take all of your power and your might and your goodness and your peace and your comfort and your strength, and please let that be in me. God can do so much more in us than we can do in ourselves. God has so many more resources than we have just in ourselves. Look with me at verse 26. It says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know, Jesus is speaking to those who desire to make money instead of doing what God wants for that person's life. Now, I've heard over and over again from people that they refuse salvation because of the what ifs, and it tends to involve money or hardships, but oftentimes it's money over that. You know, they'll say, what if God sends me to Africa to be a missionary and I have to live in a little hut? What if I'm stuck being a pastor or in ministry somewhere that doesn't make much money? Well, first, most gospel believers are not in full-time ministry, but have regular everyday jobs. However, what if God does want you in some ministry somewhere that never makes much money? So what? Money does not bring happiness. And God always takes care of our needs. You know, and sometimes our response is, well, I know it doesn't bring me happiness, but I need that 401k and I need to make sure that I'm all set for the end of my life and I have everything together just as the way I need to, and I need to have X amount away for, just in case kind of thing. Well, if God's taking care of all of our needs, if you know God is taking you into something to do specifically, he's going to take care of all of your needs in that. You don't have to worry about the 401k. You don't have to worry about having extra money set aside and needing, you know, 3 different jobs in order to get you through. God is going to square you away. He's going to take care of it because God provides for our needs. You know, what if a man has so much money that he gains the whole world, but he never has salvation? Or what if he has great wealth, but never really gets to know Jesus? You know, what happiness can he have? You know, if we want to live the life that God intended us to have, then we have to determine that we are going to live in obedience to his will over our own. That means we must submit to his will if we are going to be content in this life and to be used for the Lord. Now, I'll tell you in my own life, the greatest times that I have ever experienced is when I'm letting God have all of that control. I mean, all of it. And all the times that I push against his will, I am never happy and I am never contented. Letting go and letting God may be difficult for most, but it is so worth it. Well, let's continue here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look again with me at verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. All right, so back to the race illustration. We see that all of the runners in the race are temperate in all things. So let's define this a bit, because we don't hear much about this word temperance today, especially not in America. So temperate is defined as showing moderation or self-restraint. You know, this is self-control. This is discipline. You know, another big struggle for the gospel believer is a disciplined life. Now, the Apostle Paul is telling us here that those who are running, who are actually working hard to achieve the prize, they will make whatever sacrifices necessary in order to reach their goal. Whatever sacrifices necessary. Now, as I think about professional sports players today, the best of the best have specific diet plans that they follow, specific exercise routines, and even specific amounts of sleep that they work on getting every night. And for many of them, it's more than 8 hours a night. And all of this takes work and discipline and keeping your eye on the prize. Now, athletes today compete for a perishable crown. You know, the medal or trophy or even the prestige that they are competing for has a limited life to it. It's going to burn up or fade away at some point. Now, those back in Paul's day, when they would make it to the winner's circle, they would be given a crown that was made out of the branches of olive trees. Now, those leaves that would have been on the crown would have dried up and become brittle and fade away in just a few months. But the imperishable crown that we are working for is saved for us in heaven. It never breaks and it never gets brittle. It will last forever. Now, self-control and discipline do not happen overnight. I don't know of anybody who had a disciplined life overnight. It takes hard, repetitious work to put them in place and to stick with them. In order for us to have the right discipline, we need to acquire the right tools to help us in following through with our goals. Proverbs chapter 7, 1 through 3 says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart." So what Solomon is telling us here is to meditate on and memorize God's word. Treasure them within you. Not just treasure it on the page of your Bible, but put them within you so they will work in you. Enjoy them within you. Keep God's commandments as the apple of your eye, which means that you cherish that thing above everything else. Bind them on your fingers so that you never lose them. Keep them with you always and write them on the tablet of your heart. Don't just get it in your mind, but get it in your heart. You know, when God's word is in our minds, it is good, but it is even better when it reaches our hearts, because it is in our hearts that it changes us for the better. Now, the tools of God's word will help us every day to grow closer to Him, to grow in our spiritual life, to keep pace running our race, and to meet our goals in a disciplined life. We need to be reading God's word daily, meditating on His word, and memorizing His word, and then we need to apply it. And when we apply God's word is when we start moving it from our minds and to our hearts. And just as a side note, you are never too old and it is never too late to read God's word, to meditate on it, and to memorize it, and to apply it. I was listening to a sermon online several years ago by a gentleman who was in his 70s. And he was filling in for the pastor 1 week. Well, his message was good. He used a lot of scripture, and I didn't think much about it until I had met him in person. This man's name was Gene Walters. And later in life, Gene went blind. Now, because it was later in life, he never learned Braille. But he continued to learn scripture because his wife would read the Bible to him. And then she would record herself on tape and read scripture, and Gene would listen to those scriptures over and over and over again until he had them memorized. And he thought about what he wanted to say because of what the text said and how it connected together. So even when he got up in front of a group and preached for a half an hour to an hour, he never had notes. It was just from what he memorized through repetition and what he learned from studying and really just hearing the truth of God's word. So if a blind man in his 70s can memorize scripture, you can too. All right, let's look at verse 26 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Now, Paul is saying that because in order to run the way he needs to so he can win the prize, he will run without uncertainty. In other words, he makes every effort to set a plan in action and follow through with it. Even in training, like boxing, when he fights, he does it with all of his might. He doesn't just get out there and figure it out as he goes. Now, there are times in life when we don't prepare for what is coming. We have all done this at one time or another, and we get into whatever situation that it might be, and we just wing it. And typically, when we're winging something, it doesn't work out. I laugh about it now because there have been so many times where I'm like, oh, I'll just wing it, and it just not works out. It's by God's grace if anything ever comes together when we are winging it. And when we do that, we don't tend to accomplish much. You know, occasionally we might actually do kind of well. And again, that's by God's grace, but that shouldn't be our precedent. We should be preparing for what is to come so that when we're in it, we can do it with all of our might. I remember in sixth grade, my teacher decided that it would be a fun activity where it was the sixth graders versus all the school's teachers to play soccer outside. And it was a big event that everyone had to participate with. And as most of you know, I am not a big sports person. So I will attend games that friends or family are in, but professional events, if you ever see me show up at one, I'm only there for the food, okay? Now, up until this forced activity, I had only seen a couple of soccer matches take place. And to me, it looked like just a bunch of people standing on the field with absolutely nothing to do until someone passed them the ball. So when we started playing, I just stood there with nothing to do until someone passed me the ball. And I remember my teacher getting so frustrated with me that I wasn't playing. But to this day, I still don't understand what else I could have been doing because the ball never came to me. You know, I was the least prepared person on the field and I was just winging it, hoping that I was going to accomplish something. But in point of fact, I accomplished nothing. Now, we can't just wing it in life if we are going to be running at a pace that is going to get us across the finish line with a fervor. We will not finish well if we are just winging it. All right, let's continue here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look with me at verse 27. But I discipline my body, Paul continues to say, and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, in order to finish well, I have to discipline my body. Now, that means that I need to condition or train my body and my mind and my will if I am going to accomplish what God wants me to do. Now, part of that conditioning is breaking bad habits and getting rid of old sin habits that continually come back up. Now, consider what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. He says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So exercise yourself toward godliness. Now, it will last longer and work better for you than even physical exercise. But that exercise takes work. It takes making good habits, and it takes a long time of discipline. It also takes endurance. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. A blessed is the gospel believer who, when faced with temptation, pushes through it and endures, who continues to remain disciplined and resolves to overcome through the power of God. Now, this is what we are striving for in the Christian life. But we need reminders about this over and over because we tend to let our guard down. We tend to fall to our old ways and our old habits. You know, we tend to pick up new bad habits. And at least once a year, we should revisit the reason that we are disciplining ourselves and remember that God has a plan and purpose for our lives that is greater than we could ever design ourselves. And we need to trust in that plan and work to accomplish His will in our lives. And that takes purposed work and effort, but it is worth it. The other day, I looked over at my bookshelf and I saw at least 5 to 8 books that had a bookmark in them about a quarter to halfway through. And why is that? It's because I do great at starting something. I am a pro starter, but I am not a great finisher. I struggle over the long haul because I tend to lack discipline. And just as I need reminders about why I need to discipline my body, why I need to finish the project, why I need to continue on in my faith, so we all need those reminders to press forward. And reminders for why we are doing this in the first place. You know, my goal for 2024 is to get you ready to be the brightest light bearer that you can be, to help you in your discipline and to encourage you to keep running that race. Now, here at CBC, we have provided different opportunities for you that will aid in you becoming a better light bearer, to trim that wick and to help that shining light stay lit and to last. I'm going to give you 9 points to get that light as bright as you can get it and to keep it there through the following efforts. All right, 1, think of these as simple ways to help be a better light bearer in 2024. 1 is to pray. And I know I talk about prayer a lot because prayer is the most important thing that we can do of our day. Reading the Bible is great. Studying the Bible is great. Meditating and memorizing on it is great. But if we're not talking to God, we are not following through. We need to be praying. We need to be bringing our thoughts and our focuses and our fears and our worries to God every single day. And not just once a day. And not just at meals. But we need to be praying when we first wake. We need to be praying before we go to bed. We need to be continually praying throughout the day. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean pray 24/7 without getting off of our knees. It means keeping that open channel with the Lord at all times and continuing to bring things back with prayer. So prayer, 1. So start with prayer for yourself. And no, this is not selfish to pray for yourself. You need to have a disciplined life. And that begins with prayer. Pray and commit your efforts to the Lord. In order for us to walk in the manner that God wants us to, we need to be regularly talking with Him and committing our ways to Him. And when you start your morning out committing that you're going to fight the good fight of the faith and that you are going to work to keep that disciplined life, it makes the day so much easier because you now have a purpose in it. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now here at CBC, we provide opportunities to learn and grow in your prayer life with our Sunday morning prayer hour. You know, a good time to learn and even practice by praying with fellow believers with who you're learning from and who you're learning with. This is a great time to put these prayers into practice. We could be praying for each other and we can be praying for things in the ministry and we can be praying for other things that have come up for our prayer needs. But we need to be praying. 2 is also about prayer. Pray about opportunities. Pray about opportunities to talk with people about the Lord before you even go out of the house. Whether you're leaving for work or going to the grocery store, even stopping by the post office, when we are not ready to engage in conversation, we will have missed opportunities. 3, all right, this may not be a very popular one, but it is important, okay? 3, set your phone down. Set your phone down and be in the moment. You know, these days we have our phone in front of us at all times. Even when we are around other people with opportunities to chat and to encourage or even just to listen. You know, the less we are staring at our phones, the more that we will be available to engage with other people. And it's hard to strike up even simple conversations about God's blessings in our lives if our eyes are constantly looking down. Well, 4, read your Bible daily. Remember, our faith grows when we hear God's word, and we need to strengthen our faith every day. And the more that we read God's word, the more familiar that we get with it, and it allows us to learn for our own spiritual growth, and also to remember for the future when we are encouraging others. So how much do you enjoy coming back to God's word? You know, we can't be people of the word if we don't know what it says. And you know, we have in our bulletins this month a read through the Bible plan to help aid you in your daily reading. I would strongly recommend that everyone read through the whole Bible on a regular basis. And the more you read it, the more that you learn. And I can tell you from my own experience that I learn many new things every time that I read through the Bible. Job chapter 23 and verse 12 says, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Well, number five, meditate on and memorize God's word. Meditate on and memorize God's word. So we've learned today about the importance of meditating on God's word and memorizing it. We need to hide God's word in our heart. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we begin by meditating on God's word and memorizing it. Now, here at CBC, we offer a memorization challenge every year through the Faith Race. Now, the Faith Race is not a competition. It is a personal challenge to help you meditate on really good passages for your Christian walk and to help you memorize. Everyone who participates is working on it together, and I have found that it is more helpful because those participating will encourage and help each other find ways to better remember. And it is open to anyone who would like to memorize. You don't have to do it all, but set yourself a goal and start working on it. I find for myself that the more meditating that I do on these passages, the more that I naturally just remember them. Because when I'm meditating on them, I'm thinking about it, and I'm breaking down each piece, and I'm applying it, and I'm just chewing over it and thinking about it and imagining it and considering it from all different places. When I memorize things, I tend to just go through the repetition of it, say the words over and over again in the hopes that I'm actually going to remember it and get it kind of stuck in my head. Meditating is really the basis of where God wants us to be considering his word. He wants us to be meditating on it before we even consider memorizing it, because in meditation is where we really learn the depths of what his word says. Well, number six is encourage others. And one of the ways that we encourage others here at CBC is through our Love One Another opportunities. Every other month, we have an activity of some kind to put our efforts toward helping and encouraging others. And this year, you will have 6 to 8 different planned opportunities to take advantage of. Everyone can use encouragement from time to time. Don't let those opportunities pass by. Number seven, another way that we use to help and encourage others is through discipleship. Now, we have discipleship series here at CBC that takes you through 8 lessons from the Bible that help to reinforce what you may already know and help you learn a little deeper about things that you do not of the Bible. Now, it is a great opportunity for anyone looking to be encouraged more in God's word. And then number 8 is evangelize. Evangelism looks different for everyone. Some will walk you through a 45-minute presentation of the gospel, and others will share one Bible verse and even give out a tract. Now, there is not one way to tell others about Jesus, but telling others about Jesus is so very important. Now, there will always be opportunities to share with others what God is doing in your life. Pray about those times and share when God gives you that open door. And then number 9, last but definitely not least, something very important for us to do is to put what you have learned into practice. If we don't put into practice what we are learning in Scripture and what God is laying on our hearts to learn, we will not reinforce the teaching, and we will be more susceptible to forgetting it. Now, what is the point of learning so much about the Bible, even coming to church every week, but never applying the things that we hear and learn? You know, it's like going to college and sitting in the classes, but not really listening to any of the teaching, and then never taking the test to see if we have even learned or have applied any of that teaching. That is a huge waste of time and resources. Now, we are all in different places in our Christian life, but one thing that we all have in common is the need for greater discipline. Let's be praying for each other this year and encouraging each other as we all work to achieve Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, which says, "Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Let's go to prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for us today. Lord, I pray that we would be better gospel believers this year in a way that our lights inside of our hearts, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would grow. I pray, Lord, that we would discipline our bodies and we would bring them unto subjection, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would exercise our minds, exercise our focus, and even our imagination, Lord. Exercise our hearts so that we are continually growing in God's word, Lord. Help us to be meditating on your word and really learning it, really applying it, Lord, and working on that every single day. You know, we get caught up on so many things and we forget what is good. We forget what we're supposed to be doing. And we get sidetracked and rabbit trailed so often, Lord. I pray that you'd help us this year to be focused on what's most important. Help us to let go of the things that are not important. And I pray, Lord God, you would teach us what discipline is all about. Just as our regular bodies, we are to be disciplining those in order to stay healthy. I pray, Lord, that we would discipline our spiritual bodies so that we can be healthy for your glory and so that others can know the Lord much greater through the example of our own lives. Now, Lord, I know from my own personal experience that the further I get away from you and the further, or I might say the less that I am reading your word and studying it and really taking it seriously, it seems like my light gets dimmer and I'm not as open to talking to people. I'm more afraid of giving people the gospel. Now, Lord, I pray in my life and in the lives of others that you would encourage us. Lord, help us to be disciplined and remember that discipline and continue to work on that discipline and not just start it, but to finish it and to finish it well. I pray, Lord, for those hearing this message today, Lord Jesus, that they would learn to be disciplined. And Lord, I pray for any that are unsaved today that don't really know you as their Lord and personal Savior. I pray, Lord God, that you would lead them to your word. I pray that they would read John chapter 3. And that their hearts and minds would be open to the gospel. Lord, your word and your life transforms our life all of the time if we are willing to let it transform it. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be willing. I pray, Lord, that we would seek to know you on a much stronger basis even this year. We thank you for all these things, Lord God. In your name I pray. Amen.